You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Plenty of fresh insanity to discuss with Billy Corbin this week in the local hour in Miami. I guess I'll let you get people caught up. We've been talking about the police chief nonsense. It continues to escalate. Basically, what you have happening in Miami is that the police chief, who is Cuban, isn't Cuban enough and doesn't have enough power. You take it from there because his power is being stripped, handcuffed, shamed. He's been here. Has he even gotten to 6 months yet?
Barely, yeah.
Okay, he's gotten to 6 months. We run off police chiefs. It's one of the many reasons this city is as corrupt and criminal as it is. So go ahead, take it from there, Billy, because all sorts of fascinating shit has happened this week.
Yeah, that's what you always have to ask. You know, if police chiefs come and go and certain mayors come and go and bureaucrats come and go. If you want to know what's wrong with a community, you look at the constants. What doesn't change? Joe Carollo doesn't change. State Attorney Catherine Fernandez Rundle, the top cop who is supposed to hold public officials accountable for their corruption and criminal behavior. She's been in office for 28 years, has never once charged a police officer for an on-duty killing. That sends a message to people like Joe Carollo of impunity. You can act a fool. You can literally engage in whatever criminal behavior you want, up to and including murder, and you will never be held accountable by Catherine Fernandez Rundle and her public corruption unit, which is a f***ing joke. If everybody thought that we had peak just Miami madness at last week's Monday city commission meeting, which we talked about last week, somehow there was a second city commission meeting on Friday of last week that got even crazier. It opened with the commission chairman, Ken Russell, this empty suit, who left an empty chair on the Monday meeting. He didn't even show up to the meeting. He was so scared. He opens the meeting on Friday, I shit you not, last week, saying, basically reading the Miranda rights to the other commissioners, saying you have the right to remain silent, and I believe that anything we say here can and will be held against us in a court of law, either criminal or civil. When have you ever seen a government meeting opening with basically a warning saying we probably shouldn't even talk about this shit right now because we're going to get sued or arrested and called to task?
Miranda rights also including like the litigation. It's not even it's just all of it. Be careful.
I believe that once the 8-page memo was submitted, this now becomes an issue that will be ripe for litigation, and that anything we say up here could put the city at risk. There's a lot of heat going on right now. A lot of accusations have been thrown, and it's very easy for us to feel threatened or defensive and want to lash out. But I please ask that this commission stick to the facts of whatever it is that's being alleged or defended. Again, it's my preference that we do not do this up here because it will only potentially lead to exposure as we are airing on the record things that potentially could be used at us if we get at legal odds with this chief.
I've never seen anything like that. And Carollo interrupts him and starts bloviating for hours.
All that I have to say
let me set the evening, please, because we've gone now, we're going into our sixth hour, and we need to have some predictability of how far we're going to go here tonight.
And what crazy shit does he say now, Crazy Joe? He attacks the Free Press, calls the Miami New Times little grandma, not as in abuela, but as in the communist paper of Cuba. He goes on, he attacks individual journalists in the audience by name. Even more insane, he asks for a 5-minute recess so that Art Acevedo, the police chief, can come, and he puts his wrists out. Put him in handcuffs and arrest him right now.
Mr. Manager, if you could contact Mr. Acevedo, if he wants to come and arrest me without going through the state attorney's office for any probable cause, going through a grand jury, to stop threatening me, come right down and do it himself. I'm not going to provide any resistance. Here I am. But he himself to come down and have the guts to do it in a public meeting. If not, to shut his big mouth. And I'm sorry that I used that statement, big mouth, but if it was appropriate for Mr. Acevedo to use against the President of the United States at one point in time, in this instance, I think it was appropriate for me to use it. Now, I'd like to take 5-minute recess right here so that if Mr. Acevedo wants to do that, I'm waiting. No resistance. Let's go.
Because what he's concerned about is that the police are going to show up to his house, put 2 bullets in him, and then drop a throwdown weapon to frame him for trying to kill. This is what he's going on about in the city commission meeting. It was f***ing bonkers.
I want to make sure that I'm not going to be stopped somewhere in a quiet street, or someone's not going to come knocking at my door the middle of the night without an arrest warrant of any kind, just on his orders, and I'm going to end up, or one of us could, but I'm the main turkey because I'm the guy that he's more upset with, because he ain't going to shut me up, nor is he going to intimidate me or scare me to shut up. But I don't want to end up with a couple of rounds in me and then a throw gun so someone can say, I aimed a gun at a police officer. They had no other alternative than to shoot me. I want to make that clear publicly, because what I am seeing and hearing from this police chief is scary. And I'm putting this publicly to put in my notice, because I will never, never in my life, no matter what, raise a finger, point a gun at any police officer. Never will.
The guy is off his rocker, and he shut down city government. Nothing got done last week for the people of the city of Miami other than Joe Carollo sitting around reading Google search results that the police union printed out for him, attacking the free press, threatening and intimidating the police chief, saying the police chief is attempting a military coup. It was Fidel Castro shit.
Making the accusations that he himself, according to a federal lawsuit, is guilty of making. When you go and accuse everyone else of communism, why you yourself and the city of Miami, with the work you've done, closing down local businesses with mafioso behavior, is a subject of a $28 million lawsuit from the federal government.
And what I think Joe's really upset about is that lawsuit incorporates the 8-page memo that we talked about last week from the police chief that corroborates the allegations in a lawsuit that claims that the city of Miami government is acting like a criminal racketeering, dare I say it, mafia organization. And as you alluded at the beginning, crazy on top of crazy from Joe Carollo, he says that Art Acevedo, who was born in Havana, is not a real Cuban. He is unwilling to adapt to the spirit of the revolution, according to Joe Carollo. And that revolution being whatever crazy shit it is that he's doing here to turn Miami into third world banana republic, arroz con Miami. It's unbelievable. And you'd have to be at this point, if you were considering moving to opening a business, I say this every week and I'll keep saying it, moving to opening a business, investing in the city of Miami, you maybe should consider Kabul instead of just a more stable city with a better government than this. And donde está Mayor Ponzi Postalita? Where is Francis Suarez defending his handpicked police chief? Where was he? Definition of irony. During Friday's meeting, I can't make this shit up, when Miami is starving for leadership and competency and good government, Francis Suarez was in Ohio at a leadership meeting. RIP irony, the antithesis of leadership. He's not even in the state of Florida, let alone in the room where it's happening, where this craziness is happening, to show some leadership and get this city back on track. I mean, he's out there in the world promoting this place as a business-friendly environment. When you have local businesses who are being extorted, threatened, shaken down, and shut down by the likes of Comandante Carollo and this city government that he has weaponized against private business owners for his own personal and political vendettas.
Let me stop you there and just tell the audience that these aren't just rampant words that Billy's using.
Are you sure?
We will be talking with Katie Fang about a lawsuit here within this podcast that will allow you to understand some of the details on racketeering accusations that feel like they have merit, where you have property rights being denied and you have businesses being threatened and rattled by amateur behavior that doesn't feel very much like freedom or democracy.
I mean, they're being denied their private property rights. They're being denied their right to use their private property to be in business, to make a living, not just for the rich private property owners, but for the hundreds of people that work for them, their families who are out of work as a result of this criminal behavior by the city of Miami. And we talked about the 8-page memo that Police Chief Art Acevedo, in town for only 5 months, and with that objectivity says, shit, I need to report the police department to the Department of Justice, and I need to report 3 sitting commissioners to the FBI for abuse of power and potential criminal behavior. His 8-page memo, it's a blueprint for how a federal grand jury could convene and conceivably indict these criminal commissioners. But now you have this lawsuit, the 66-page lawsuit, which incorporates the 8-page memo from the police chief as corroboration of some outrageous crimes. And if there is not a federal grand jury being convened right now, if State Attorney Catherine Fernandez Rundle is not investigating this, and she's had this information for years, what are we doing? Why do we have a state attorney's office? Why do we have a U.S. attorney's office if they're not trying to create a competent, safe community here for homeowners and business owners and the people in the city of Miami? It's out of control on an unprecedented level. And what's funny is when you look back at the city of Miami through history, when you look at the unstable regimes in Miami, not all the time, but more often than not, Crazy Joe Carollo is there. He's right there in the middle of it, embarrassing this city on the international stage, doing needless battle with police chiefs and city managers.
And running them off. Now, you say needless, but he's running them off. Like you say, not needless for what he's doing. Like, this feels like a law enforcement man trying to do his job, getting someplace, doing an unpopular, hard thing. 6 months into a tenure, he seems to be trying to partake in law enforcement, and he seems to be getting pressured from every angle. Get out of here. Don't do your job. I can't continue the malfeasance if you're doing your job.
And it gets crazier. During the meeting, when Joe Carollo says,
come here and arrest me now. Arrest me now, chief.
He literally says, I want to take a 5-minute recess so the police chief can come down and put me in handcuffs and arrest me. The city manager, General Art Noriega, get this. He says that, don't worry, the city of Miami police cannot arrest you. Because 2 years ago, this body, meaning the City Commission of Miami, passed a resolution that prohibits City of Miami police from arresting elected officials.
I had a conversation with the chief yesterday, reminded him that there was a resolution passed by this body almost 2 years ago now that basically identified very specifically that if there were an intent for any type of investigation relative to any commissioner or elected official, obviously something beyond a traffic stop, I think is really what it references. So any serious allegation or investigation, that has to be deferred to either the FDLE or the FBI. He was aware of that memo, and there will be no arrest made by anyone within the Miami Police Department of any sitting elected official or anybody. I think the reso actually states, or 2 years prior to them leaving office, that you don't have to fear that, Commissioner Carollo. We're very clear on what the process as per that reso, and I'll leave it at that.
This is some OCP shit. If anybody remembers RoboCop, remember RoboCop was not, one of his directives is that he could not arrest any officers or of OCP until the guy gets, I don't want to spoil the end of the movie for people who haven't seen it since 1987.
RoboCop.
But this is some OCP
spoiler
shit.
Alert on a 1980s movie.
This is the level of lawlessness. You have city commissioners who are passing ordinances to target specific business owners and their enemies, real and perceived.
We will get to that in a second. We will get to the specifics of that in a second because it will be appalling to the audience. But what were the other things from the last week of developments that you think that a light needs to, before we get to the silly and the weird in Miami, that there needs to be a light on now because it's important.
Well, these law and order banana Republicans on the city commission, Joe Carollo and Alex Diaz-Laportia and Manolo Reyes, all of whom have been accused of crimes by the police chief. And their response to that, incidentally, is lashing out with threats and retaliation and intimidation and extortion, like, I don't know, a mafia. And so they are defunding the police. These law and order Republicans are defunding the police. They are taking money away from the command staff, specifically the first ever female assistant police chief in the history of the city of Miami, a woman who Acevedo specifically, remember, Acevedo was brought in as police chief because he was an outsider. The determination was made that in order to effectuate change, you do not want an internal promotion. You want someone to, with some objectivity, to come in and shake shit up, right? And clean up the department, to reform it. And so he brings in, which was considered universally in law enforcement circles, a spectacular hire, this woman from Houston who we worked with at the Houston PD previously. And she moves to Miami, uproots her life and comes to Miami to become the first female police chief in the history of the city. And they just defunded her position and unceremoniously shit-canned her, fired her, the city manager, basically at the behest. That's the thing you have to remember, is that this isn't the city manager acting autonomously under the city charter as he's supposed to, as his job and his charge. This is Joe Carollo acting as judge, jury, and executioner. He is the chairman. I don't care who has these real titles. Joe Carollo is the chairman of the city commission. Joe Carollo is the strong mayor. Joe Carollo is the city manager. Joe Carollo is the city attorney. Joe Carollo is code enforcement. Joe Carollo is the police chief. And you can say in a democracy, we get the government we deserve. But if that's the kind of city of Miami you want to live in, you need some medication.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
One of the worst kept secrets in the city of Miami, and I'm remiss to even call it a secret because literally everybody knows about it in the government. Every business owner in the city of Miami, everyone who's tried to do business in the city of Miami, anybody who watches the government in the city of Miami knows that Commissioner Joe Carollo has effectively done an end run around the city manager, who's supposed to run the bureaucracy in the different departments of the city, and has basically weaponized departments of the city as his own personal Tonton Macoute, like his secret police. This includes the police department, code enforcement, the city manager's office, the city attorney's office, everybody, in order to basically carry out personal and political retaliation against his enemies, real and perceived. And that includes business owners who he doesn't like their religion, he doesn't like their race, he doesn't like them on Calle Ocho, he doesn't like that they hosted events for his political opponents in past races. And he basically has turned the government...
harasses businesses.
Yeah, harasses businesses to the point where they are out of business and you have dozens of families and people out of work and destitute and unable to pay for their rent. And one of those businesses in particular that he has targeted relentlessly is Ball and Chain on Calle Ocho.
A great place, a great club, a fun place on Calle Ocho that was bringing a certain vibrancy to an area that does not have it.
And I think preserving the history of the street as well. It's a lot of history in the building. It's right in the heart of Calle Ocho, where Domino Park is, Tower Theater, Azucar, all these great businesses. And he has
Azucar.
Azucar.
Give that to me again. Azucar. Like you're making it Azucar. Like Azucar. Azucar. Old-timey car's horn. Azucar. It's Azucar.
Azucar.
Yes. But Ball and Chain is a great place.
Yes.
There's a $28 million lawsuit now being filed against these kinds of practices.
Yes, a bombshell federal lawsuit against the city of Miami. And to translate it for us from legalese into English is Katie Fang, who is a seasoned trial attorney and MSNBC legal analyst. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
First and foremost, before we get into the constitutional issues that are inherent here and some of the crimes committed, what are the allegations? What are the owners of the business saying that the city of Miami has done to them?
So to be clear, it's not just Ball and Chain. The owners of Ball and Chain also own another establishment called Taquerias El Mexicano, which is also a long-standing establishment on Calle Ocho.
She pronounced that right, didn't she?
She did, yeah, yes. Yeah, that's why, because she announced herself as Latina, Latina, and so I knew she would say these things better than you do.
Versus Azuka, Azuka.
Azuka, Azuka.
Fundamentally, you have several plaintiffs, but they're pretty much the business entities that are owned by Bill Fuller and a couple of brothers, Zach and Ben Bush. But their entities, their businesses are suing the city of Miami. And it is, from a total law geek perspective, an exquisite chef's kiss lawsuit. It is 66 pages of a read. And let me tell you something, it's always hard as a lawyer to write something that gets filed in court, especially federal court, but in done in a way that it reads like a novel. And this reads like your quintessential dictatorship, corruption novel. You could pick it up off of any bookshelf out of any local bookseller. And the reason why it's such a good read is because it is rife with details. It is 66 pages of details chronicling from 2018, the incessant bullying, illegal conduct that's being alleged in this federal lawsuit that the city of Miami has done. And let's kind of think about this a little bit. The city of Miami is a municipality. It has humanoids that run it, that work for it. And so they're suing the city and they're basically saying all of these multiple incidences of conduct that's malicious, that's targeted, that is depriving them of their constitutional rights to run a business, to own property, to make money. And it's not just them, as in the plaintiffs that are being harmed, as Billy alluded to. It's the people that work there. It's our community at large. You know, Bill Fuller and Ben and Zach Bush have tried to regentrify Calle Ocho, tried to bring back that old allure, tried to pump money into an area that desperately needed it. And when they did so, they incurred the ire of Crazy Joe Carollo and other members of the city of Miami.
Katie,
and
what are some of the things? I mean, there's stories of Joe Carollo hiding in the bushes, of staking out the business with various other, with the police chief, with code enforcement, false arrests of staff members. What the hell is going on over there? It sounds like some kind of communist dictatorship.
It's not just, and again, it's chronicled in the lawsuit. It's not just, hey, I'm going to leave you a notice on your door that perhaps you violated some code or some ordinance in the city. It's city officials lurking in bushes outside his businesses, city officials showing up with law enforcement, kind of a Gestapo type tactics, storming into a business, turning on the lights, accusing the businesses of violating several ordinances, shutting them down. It's arresting the general manager of one of these businesses, and then the charges are dropped by the state attorney's office because he's been falsely arrested. I mean, these are people that are going to work, trying to earn a living in a city that has an offensively high cost of living right now. They're trying to earn a living and the companies are being shut down. And it's not just the businesses themselves. For example, these guys also own property and other businesses have come to rent on that property and they've been run off the property courtesy of city commissioners, city officials, and ultimately the city of Miami.
The allegations are that the city itself and almost every entity within the department of the city is been recruited into this racketeering organization of threats and intimidation, loss of income, loss of private property rights. What could be more communist dictatorship than loss of your property rights?
So the complaint reads like there's a mafia The complaint reads like there's some type of.
She allowed to say that?
Am I allowed to say mafia?
It reads like that. He's afraid of the Cuban mafia, and I've told him already the Cuban mafia is just bluster and things like this. It's a lot of bluster. It's not real murderous mafia crime, but everyone seems to be afraid. It's cartoon loud is what the Cuban mafia is.
Well, these businesses are afraid for their livelihoods, for their futures.
I was going to say, it reads. And remember, these are allegations, right? They're all allegations until proven true, and that still has to be done in civil court, not just in criminal court. But it reads like this huge racketeering organization, right? That happens just to be parked itself in the middle of downtown Miami. And the allegations in the complaint are not just, like I said, somebody leaving a notice on my door telling me that my noise was too loud and so I need to turn down the volume. It transcends that. It is actually, I am going to enact ordinances that are going to target you specifically. So talk about a chilling effect. If you're a business owner, you got a tough decision to make. You either get in line, you either pay those dues, right? That old school, hey, you want to pay that fee that you owe us, wink, wink, for that security? I mean, that's the kind of vibe that is being channeled by this lawsuit.
Would be a real shame if something happened to your nice taco restaurant here, right?
And, it'd be a shame if you couldn't open your restaurant. It'd be a shame if you weren't able to operate your restaurant. And so it's a really strong lawsuit. And again, I'm law geeking out a little bit here, but it's rare to find lawsuits that are so chock full with specific details about acts and conduct. Normally it's the upon information belief something happened. No, in here we have pages upon pages of specific incidents. And it's not even just that, it's people that are identified. But what's amazing is these companies, Ball and Chain, Taquerias, they didn't just say, you know what, screw you, I'm gonna go to court, I'm gonna do this. Yeah, maybe the court system got involved before this lawsuit, but it was more like, hey, I'm gonna work with you, City of Miami, because you're claiming I have all these problems, let me work with you to fix it. So they work with the City of Miami to fix it, and they still get screwed in the end.
Yeah, they spent like $28 million. During the pandemic, they spent over $1 million trying to conform to all of the demands of the city, and the city still turns around and shuts them down. And what's extraordinary about the lawsuit is that, and this is something we talked about last week, is what they've done is they brought receipts. They not only have video evidence, but they used Chief Acevedo's 8-page memo, that bombshell memo that he released 2 weeks ago, to corroborate what they're alleging, because the chief himself said commissioners like Joe Carollo and Alex Diaz Laportia are doing just this, are weaponizing and abusing their power and misappropriating the resources of the city to enact these personal and political vendettas. And listen, anybody can file a lawsuit, Katie.
Right.
All due respect, you can to the Carl Gables attorneys. You can find a Carl Gables attorney who'll sue anybody for anything. But what about the law firm that's doing this lawsuit? Because it can be hard to find someone to sue the city because the law firms themselves are scared.
Well, what's going to happen, I guess, is what you're asking her, because this isn't just a lawsuit. This is something that seems like it's got a little bit more meat on it than just the ability to sue anybody.
It's the credibility of the firm is my question. It's also the credibility of the allegations or the severity of the allegations and where, I mean, if this lawsuit goes forward, what happens next?
So to answer your immediate question, the firm that's representing the plaintiffs in this lawsuit is Stearns Weaver, and it is a exceptionally credible law firm. And it is a law firm that has handled some of the biggest cases. And if you were to go and pick a law firm, that is certainly one of the law firms you could pick if you wanted to have that instant credibility when you walked into court or when you filed this. The other consideration on the other end of this, two guys, is who's the judge? This case was filed in federal court. It wasn't filed in state court. Sometimes they call state court, circuit court, they call it circus court, right? So this one went to federal court, and it's been assigned to a judge named Roy Altman. Roy is very smart, very good judge. He's a former federal prosecutor, so a lot of these claims that are being brought are not going to be new to him. But importantly, he was a partner at Potter's Orsek, which is another exceptional local law firm. He was a plaintiff's lawyer. He brought cases like this that charged all of these, made big allegations and then backed it up with the receipts that Billy talks about. And so, guys, ostensibly we're a democracy. So in a democracy, you can be accused of a crime and you're not tried and convicted and executed without some type of due process, the due process that these plaintiffs are claiming that they haven't received from the city of Miami. Allegations can be brought, but the exciting part of what's going to happen is, you know, the city of Miami is going to raise a whole bunch of legal defenses, sovereign immunity, some qualified immunity, blah, blah, blah. Assuming the lawsuit survives a motion to dismiss, the discovery in this case is going to be ridiculous. Can you imagine the depositions? Can you imagine Joe Carollo having to sit for a deposition? Can you imagine ADP, Alex Diaz de la Portilla, sitting for a depo? Can you imagine Noriega? I mean, so the bottom line is the discovery in this case is going to be amazing.
Could be good television, this discovery.
It could be amazing. Listen, if I'm the plaintiff's lawyer, you know what I'm doing? Videotaped deposition.
Sure. You had mentioned the word crimes, and this is not the first lawsuit filed, at least by Bill Fuller. He filed one in 2018 alleging some similar retaliation and criminal misconduct on the part of Joe Carollo in the city of Miami. Where are the checks and balances? Who is to stop this from happening? Where is the state attorney, Catherine Fernandez Rundel? She's had since 2018 at least a blueprint for how some of this corruption is taking place. Why isn't there a grand jury investigation? Where is the U.S. attorney? Where is the FBI? Where are the checks and balances here? Why is this being allowed to metastasize? I mean, Joe Carollo is a cancer that is just spreading and killing this city.
So it's a real head scratcher because, as you mentioned, Bill Fuller and his other business partner brought a lawsuit back in 2018 against just Joe Carollo. It's currently on hold because a federal judge told Joe Carollo, you do not have absolute immunity from being sued and you don't have qualified immunity. So these allegations that you violated these people's constitutional rights when they were expressing their First Amendment right to free speech, that lawsuit's being appealed, or the ruling's being appealed right now by Joe Carollo. But the judicial system is supposed to be a part of that checks and balances system, but it shouldn't have to go to court if everybody else is doing what they're supposed to be doing in terms of code enforcement and the police and the other people that are part of the city. The terrifying, again, chilling effect that this type of conduct has that's being perpetrated by the city of Miami as alleged in these lawsuits. How is Francis Suarez going to be the man about town, and I'm not just talking in our backyard, he's going nationally, if not internationally, wooing people to come to our city to bring their businesses, to bring individuals, to bring their money. What if you want to park yourself in the city of Miami city limits?
Crazy.
What if you disagree with these politicians?
Right.
What do you do?
Yeah, well, Francis Suarez is like a honey trap. He's like drawing in these unwitting victims, and then Joe Carollo is here to close the deal and shake them all down.
He's the quintessential B-girl in the club. He's saying, come on in, have some drinks, hang out. Oh, wait, give me that credit card number. So, hey, come to the city. Come on in. Give me your business. Oh, but wait, I'm going to defer to Noriega on these types of things. Because that's what he just said the other day.
It's appalling.
In the battle between Acevedo and Noriega, he said, I'm going to defer to Noriega on what he wants.
Francis Suarez, Russian B-girl. I love it.
I'm glad you guys are finding some of the funny in this because it is. It's appalling on a number of different ways. But thank you for being on with us, Katie. We appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
Howdy, folks. It's Mike Ryan. I'm living the gimmick right now. The playoffs have already gotten me, and we're a couple of days into it. It's like a playoff equinox that's going on right now. It's ridiculous. And if you're like me, you like rooting on your team. Trust me, I just bought 3 for my wife, daughter, and myself for game 1. I live it because I've been out there. I've been out in those streets. I've been panicking last second trying to find deals. And then when I eventually settle on something, I'm not sure if it's the lowest price out there, and I'm getting just totally blitzed with surprise fees. Well, thankfully, Game Time takes it out of the equation. All the fees are up front. There's no surprises. You get to see what your seat looks like. It's amazing the technology we have these days. But Game Time has your back always. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app right now, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute deals, lowest price, guaranteed.
Anything else from this that the people need to know? Because I do want to move on to meth labs and our oceans filling with human feces.
evergreen subjects here in South Florida. Let's move on.
Which one of those would you prefer to start with? The Venetian Causeway being shut down because our waters are filled with poop, or Bal Harbour meth lab in a place that you might not expect one?
Let's start with Miami Beach is full of shit.
What were your thoughts on how many closing of the Venetian bridges were there because we're sending flumes of feces into the water?
The Venetian Causeway shut down twice in about 20 days for the same reason. Wastewater pipe explodes and Miami is full of shit. One of only three, I guess four if you include 79th Street Causeway, roadways, arteries from the mainland to the barrier island. Because you got 79th Street Causeway, you've got the Julia Tuttle, you've got the MacArthur Causeway, and then you got the Venetian Causeway. It's a toll road used mostly by locals, but it was shut down for over 48 hours. Again, for the second time in less than a month, because the infrastructure is literally falling apart. When people want to give me shit because I say we have third world government and fourth world infrastructure, I'm not being hyperbolic, or this is not ad hominem. This is just being minimally observant. Okay. A phrase I could not use if I was drinking that Scottie Pippen.
Want to get some of that? Let's get some of that.
How would I say minimally observant if I was drinking the Pippen juice?
We need to get more. We need to start some more sparks around here. Let's see if we get some more bourbon for Billy.
So the Miami Beach City Commission has been warned for years that this infrastructure is failing. Some of the youngest pipes in the system here in Miami Beach are 50 years old. Some of them are 100 years old. Some of them are effectively the age of the city, basically, is what we have here. 100-year-old pipes, and they are failing. And they are failing left and right. And the more growth, the bigger the population becomes, the more you're going to see explosions. And more importantly, what do we have here? Aren't we selling our beautiful waterways? Aren't we selling our beaches? You can't get into this water. You can't go to these beaches. They're absolutely full of shit. It's unsafe. They're full of human waste and disease. And you got to be nuts to go into the bay or into the ocean off of Miami Beach. It's literally, literally full of shit. And meanwhile, what is the city commission doing? They want to make last call at 2 a.m. That's the best thing they can come up with to fix infrastructure, to fix crime, is to end liquor sales. I don't know. I look outside on Ocean Drive. There's f***ery going on at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Are you going to stop liquor sales at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? That poor man, that tourist, that young man who was murdered while dining with his young wife and his baby on Ocean Drive, that happened at like 6:30 p.m. in the evening. It was still light out. All they're worried about is real estate hustles. But yet, if we don't have infrastructure, if we don't have clean water, or we don't have our beautiful beaches to sell, what's the real estate hustle? What are we selling here? I don't understand it. It's a fraud. They're a fraud, and it's a fraud.
Is there any way to fix that? Like, how do you remedy all of this? What you're talking about, and I know you get this criticism a lot, you file the complaints or the criticisms, and then where are the solutions?
Yeah.
But how do you solve something like that when we're a broke city and you don't have leadership that cares?
I mean, first things first, you have to hang a lantern on your problems. To solve any problem, you first have to acknowledge that there's a problem. And when you're in a city of realtors and hospitality workers who sell the lie, how are you ever going to acknowledge you have a problem that needs solving? So that's step one. Fair enough. What are my solutions? We need better government. We have a lot of money. They generate a ton of revenue in these cities. They're just not allocating their limited resources well. Same problem with Miami Hurricanes sports. There's plenty of money. It's just a question of how to allocate those resources. And they're so busy stealing it and misappropriating it and giving it away to police unions in contract negotiations. Actually, that's happening this year in the city of Miami. That'll be a total, total fraud and a total giveaway. I've actually attended those negotiations. They're hilarious. It's like you negotiating with you. I mean, that's what that's like. You might as well be in a mirror negotiating with yourself. It's a fraud. It's a sham negotiation. So we need to elect better people, and we need to find people with some shame, because you can't shame the shameless. I mean, you look at Francis Suarez's press, you look at Dan Gelber's press, no shame, these guys. They're unembarrassable, okay? They're unembarrassable, these men. So you have to find people that have a little shame, that have a little pride, that have a little self-respect. So you can go to a city commission meeting when they'll allow you, by the way. Another thing Joe Carollo did this week was he filibustered public comment. He wouldn't allow public comment at Friday's meeting until 9:30 p.m. when there was one person left to give it, and that was the president of the police union, who they knew agreed with them. it's a communist dictatorship now in the city of Miami. It's not much different in the city of Miami Beach, and it's not much different at Miami-Dade County at large.
You mentioned fraud and money and this city being soaked in so much corruption. How many times has the University of Miami gotten hit by a Ponzi scheme?
Listen, we're in Miami. We're all guilty by geography. Let's be real about this. I mean, if you're the University of Alabama, even a school of that size, you don't have the kinds of characters that surround a university or a program like we have in Miami. If you have boosters and high net worth people who are donating to your football program, your sports department, your athletic department, your university, in Miami, there's going to be a certain percentage of those folks who are shady characters and whose money that they're donating to the school or to the program are via ill-gotten gains. That's just, again, we're guilty by geography. So the University of Miami, after the Great Recession, as Warren Buffett said, when the tide goes out, you find out who's been swimming naked. So a lot of the schemes and scams, certainly in real estate, certainly Ponzi schemes, certainly the mortgage. For, I mean, in Miami, you could go to a Washington Mutual drive-thru and your dog could get a mortgage on a house. I mean, it was insane. It was criminal, really. And so when the tide went out, we found out who was swimming naked. The University of Miami was tied to not one, not two, but three different Ponzi schemers, one of whom was running his Ponzi scheme from the administrative offices at the University of Miami and, in fact, shared a bank account in the scheme with an administrator at the university. So just, you know, because Miami.
Because Bell Harbor. You know the history of Bell Harbor, and how would you explain this meth lab story? Finding a meth lab, was it a whole floor?
No, it was a condo on the 15th floor of this 20-some-odd story luxury condo building in Bell Harbor.
But was it the whole floor, or it was just one condo? Because it could be a condo that is the whole floor. We have plenty of those in Miami.
That's true, yeah. No, I believe it was one unit, but they evacuated three floors. They evacuated the 14th floor below it and the 16th floor above it, because these are volatile chemicals that were discovered in a unit from a tenant that had been recently evicted. So someone went in to inspect it and said, holy shit, what is this? And it turns out that it was, in fact, a clandestine methamphetamine lab in the Majestic Tower on Collins Avenue and 96th Street. Bal Harbor is a village, a municipality, just north of City of Miami Beach and Surfside, which is now, unfortunately, famous for terrible reasons as well. So just north of Surfside, the very next, you cross the border and you are in the village of Bal Harbor. This village is a half square mile. It's seven blocks. It has a population of 2,600, 95% of which is white. Their average income is over $67,000, which is more than double the national average. It's home to the most expensive and exclusive shopping mall in the world. And there was no black people or Jews allowed till 1982. So you have this glorious paradise of gringos there in this little patch of land that, in fact, during World War II was a base. There was a military base, and they would watch for German U-boats coming out of the Atlantic. That's what they were doing there back in the day. And then they built up this racist and anti-Semitic, very rich, waspy white community there. It's basically a seven block speed trap. There's no crime. There's an occasional shoplifter, maybe, at the Bal Harbor shops. But their only other brush with scandal that I remember is back in between 2009, 2012, a guy named Thomas Hunker, was a 25-year veteran narcotics detective from the city of Miami Beach. He got passed over to be chief of the Miami Beach Police. So he retired with a full pension and got the job as police chief in Bal Harbor. Tiny little, again, what I say, half square mile town. It's a speed trap. And the first thing he decided he needed to do there was combat employee boredom, because the cops were bored, and buy them a bunch of toys like Segways and iPads and things. And he also decided to bring a racket with him that he had used in the city of Miami Beach, which was an asset forfeiture program in which police officers did undercover stings where they go out and create crime by posing as money launderers for drug dealers. What does that mean? You have police officers who are supposed to be on the ground in Bal Harbor, I don't know, arresting shoplifters and pulling over speeders. And instead, they're in Chicago, San Juan, New York, L.A., Detroit, Atlanta, Wilmington, meeting people and getting sacks with hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash. They're taking a VIG off the top. In this case, they actually were undercutting money launderers who charged 10%, and they were charging 6 and 7% to attract more attention. They were wiring money to Panama. to Hong Kong, to Taiwan, to China, to Venezuela, Honduras, and most shockingly, the ultimate no-no in the money laundering racket, back to Colombia, which you never, ever do. In addition, all of that is a violation of federal law, what I just said.
I feel like that goes without saying.
And they became, nobody wanted to, none of the money launderers wanted to work with Venezuelan traffickers. Thomas Hunker did. And he became the primary money launderer for Venezuelan cocaine traffickers back when Venezuela's drug trade was exploding in the late aughts, early tens.
Through the Bal Harbour Police Department.
Through the Bal Harbour Police Department.
This is basically a police department that guards a mall, is what you're talking
mall
about.
Mall cops. That's correct.
But I'm saying a literal mall. It's the most expensive mall in America.
Bal Harbour Shops.
It's, you say this is a 7-block radius. It's the mall.
The mall takes up, probably 4 of those blocks. Yes.
They protect the mall. Like, you're not, I'm not derisively calling them mall cops.
That's the job.
So this size of a drug laundering operation around a mall.
The SunTrust Bank, you know that SunTrust Bank right in that island there at 96th Street, right where actually the Majestic Tower is with the meth lab in it. That SunTrust was their spot. They had dozens of fake entities that they were laundering money and wiring it through that SunTrust Bank. And they were also using businesses in Doral, some of these, shall we say, electronic export companies. Hundreds of transactions through these companies. Mind you, they were not acting like money launderers. They were actually money launderers.
It sounds like they were better at money laundering because they had a better rate. Yeah.
And because they were a law enforcement agency, they could transfer money instantly to China. So whereas everybody else had to wait for banking regulators and the government to money, they laundered $83 million in about 333 transactions over 3 years. And guess how many arrests they made? Zero.
Oh, my God.
They didn't file one case. They didn't put one person in handcuffs. Where's the money? Nobody knows. They bought toys. Thomas Hunker had fundraisers for Catherine Fernandez Rundle, for other political figures to effectively insulate himself from any consequences. And guess what? There were none. Catherine Fernandez Rundle did nothing. The U.S. Attorney's Office did nothing. Crimes were most certainly committed. And the money has not been fully accounted for. And yet, Thomas Hunker was allowed to retire with his second public pension, and he now makes more money to play golf than any of us make to work.
We haven't gotten to the meth lab yet.
That, I mean, there's nothing to say. What do you? There's a meth lab in Bal Harbour, dude. Who's ever heard of such a thing?
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.